In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today concerns the question of authority. The Pharisees, members of the ruling class in Jerusalem, send priests and Levites to John the Baptist. Levites have authority, priests have authority, and the Pharisees had authority. But who was this John? And by what authority does he do these things? The Christ, the Messiah, has authority. Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, has authority. And the prophet, the one like Moses, whom God had promised to raise up from his people, has authority. But who was this John, who wore the clothing of Elijah and had appeared in the wilderness where Elijah had disappeared hundreds of years earlier? Behind their question of who are you was the real question concerning authority. Therefore, when John confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ, I am not the prophet, I am not Elijah," they were flummoxed. "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" This question has great significance for baptism. Most of the Protestant world confesses that though baptism is a symbol of great significance, the act of baptism itself does nothing, accomplishes nothing, effects nothing. They say baptism is merely an outward expression of an inward transformation. But Scripture knows nothing of this idea. In fact, it so clearly teaches the opposite that even the Pharisees know that baptism is highly significant. So significant that it can only be performed by one with the proper authority. If you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why then do you baptize? John confesses that he is not the Christ, but when pressed about baptism, he points to the Christ as the source of his authority. "There stands one among you whom you do not know." For those who will listen closely, there is a deep theological truth hidden in this exchange between John and the Pharisees. If baptism does nothing, then why should it matter who performs it? But the Pharisees know that baptism is so significant that it can only be done by one who holds the authority of the Christ, the prophet, or Elijah. And where did they get this idea? From the Scriptures. 500 years before John appears, God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel and told his people exactly what he would do through holy baptism. "I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." The Pharisees, for all their faults, knew the Scriptures. And because of that, they were expecting the institution of baptism because God had promised to do it. But since everything God had promised was something he would do, "I will sprinkle you with clean water. I will cleanse you from your sin. I will give you a new heart. I will put my Holy Spirit within you," they wanted to know if John had the authority from God to perform these things. Anyone can pour water. Anyone can say some words, but that doesn't make it a baptism. There's a difference between having the physical capabilities of performing the duties of an office and having the authority to perform that office. Consider the words, "I pronounce you man and wife." These words have power. They are life-changing. If these words have been spoken to you, your life is never the same. But though anyone here is physically capable of saying these words, it wouldn't make them true. Why? Because these words require authority. "By the power vested in me, I pronounce you man and wife." Without that authority, nothing happens. As an aside, that's one of the big problems with self-appointed pastors. A guy wakes up one day and says to himself, "I'm tired of doing construction. I'm a pastor now." He invites his friends to his house next Sunday, and boom, he's a pastor and he has a congregation. Or a woman says to herself, "I love Jesus, I'm compassionate, and I'm good at public speaking. I'm a pastor." Well, that's not how it works. It's not about having the skill set. It's about having the authority. Regarding the pastoral office, God does not give that to women. And he doesn't give it to 99.9% of men. But when he does give that authority, that burden, to certain men that he chooses and appoints, then they speak by the command and with the authority of Christ himself. Consider the very last words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew, right before the ascension. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." From the beginning of John's ministry until the end of Jesus's earthly ministry, the issue surrounding baptism has always been one of authority. Why? Because baptism is not just words. It is not just water. Baptism does something. Even the Pharisees knew that, though they were otherwise unable to recognize their own Christ, their own Messiah. "By what authority do you do these things, John?" He answers, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know." That's his answer. "Yes, my hands are performing the baptism. My hands are pouring on the water, but Jesus stands among you whether you recognize him or not." That's how a mere man can do these things. That's how a sinful pastor can dare to say, "I forgive you all your sins," because Jesus stands among us. Those words are said by the pastor in the stead of Christ and by his authority. This is wonderful news to the doubting heart. How can I know that my sins are truly forgiven? How can I believe that I have a new heart, that I have the Holy Spirit, that I have been brought into the family of God? Because even though it was the pastor's hands that poured on the water, even though it was the pastor's mouth that spoke the words, Jesus was the one performing the baptism. Whether you knew it or not at the time, among you stands one whom you do not know, and it is by his authority and his command that your sins are forgiven. Consider these wonderful words from the Small Catechism. "I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. The introit this morning was a prayer from Psalm 106. Remember us, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit us with thy salvation. Christ has heard and answered that prayer. Even though your eyes may not see him, not yet, not this side of heaven, among you stands one whom we did not know, but has now made himself known through the means of grace. He comes to us in holy baptism. We hear his voice in holy absolution. We receive his body and his blood in holy communion. And we can be certain that the gifts he gives us through these means do deliver what he promises: the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. How can we be certain? Because this is the promise of Christ himself, and all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. In the name of Jesus, amen.